Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
So I'm going to tie this into honor, and I do want to finish talking about communication and powerful conversations, because I think it is so important. I think that we could be so in love with God, and every time we open our mouth, we ruin that by what we say, accidentally, or sometimes not accidentally. Anybody want to admit that that can happen? If you're married, have you ever said something to your wife that you regret, or your husband? We probably have at some point. Maybe something slips out and you're like, oh, why did I say that? Because we love the person. So sometimes it's going back and going, Lord, help, heal our heart. Colossians 3, I am going to read it out of the Amplified, starting at verse 12, because when I heard Pastor share that last week, I thought, this is powerful. It says, so as God's own chosen people, who are holy, meaning set apart, sanctified for his purpose. Everybody say that with me, his purpose. I think in this hour, this is a whole nother conversation. We have to be very careful that we don't get sidetracked with purposes that are really not his purpose. And now it doesn't mean I'm not talking about having jobs and going after some things, but I think it's really easy to get sidetracked in this hour. We have more things at our fingertips than we've ever had before, right? You go on, I don't know if this ever happens to you. I go on Facebook to check something that I need to check, and before I know it, I'm scrolling only to go, why did I get on here?
Yeah, exactly.
And you forget why, so we can get sidetracked very easily. But it says we are set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well-beloved by God himself. That's just good. We are loved by God. Amen? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and with patience. Let me read those words again. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with. Which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with a good temper. With a good temper. This is all out of the Amplified, so it's an expanded version. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you should forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. That's just honor right there, isn't it? Everything we've been talking about, the words we've been talking about, that is honor. And it's unfortunate right now that I feel like we are having to get back to the foundation. That's why I started the series on honor, because the whole world is falling away from the very thing. Now, I understand that the people that do not follow God may not feel the same inkling to honor. But if you read the Word of God, how can we not move towards honor? Right? And yet I feel like we're losing our moorings a little bit. I was watching the other day, you know, you click on news and this news article came up about a lady on a plane assaulted another stewardess. You know, and you watch the video and the people are yelling F-bombs. I'm like, this is on a plane. What is happening to society? The anger level, the frustration is just off the charts. But how many know that we get to change the environment? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we read these words and we think, yeah, when I'm on a mission trip, I really want to make sure I have compassion. Like when I go see those kids in Africa one day, I want to have compassion and kindness and humility. No, that's great, but let's start with every day we go to work. Mm-hmm. Every day we go to work, we need compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Every time we, you know, Joy was saying, every time we have a conversation with someone, because there's a lot of varying opinions out there, what do we need? Well, we need a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We also need unselfish love. And when I read those words, I get convicted. Because I look and I go, I don't think I always do that. And I'm going to share some things in conversation that we often go to. And if we really look at our heart, we got to get to the root in our heart. But those are powerful words, right? You guys just got to nod every once in a while. Pastor Rod and I have been talking how much you can't see without the mouth. It's funny. Mm-hmm. You just see eyes staring back at you. I'm sure you're smiling at me. Mm-hmm. You could stick out your tongue. I would never know. But let me read the words again. Heart of compassion, kindness. So we're finishing this series off talking about honor. I Jesus modeled honor so well. And I believe the disciples hit it and blew it just like us because they were in the learning process. And so I feel comfortable knowing that that's okay. We're going to grow in this. The heart is, though, Lord, teach us. Teach us to, not just while we're doing a series and then we move on. No, let this become part of our DNA and part of our culture. Let me read a quote. It says this, "Speak when you are angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." Amber Bierce, I'm not sure who that is, but I'll say it again. Speak when you are angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. So we're talking about communication. We're talking about confrontation, powerful confrontation, which sounds like we're going to have a fight. You know, the image I get, I was thinking about this the other day. Often we think somebody that is powerful in the wrong way. I think of somebody that's trying to, you know, keep away a bear. What are you supposed to do when a bear comes? You're supposed to get as tall and as big and as loud as you can get to try to get this bear to be afraid, which is, I think, is funny. But I think that's what often people do in conversations. They try to get as big and bold and loud as they can get to try to show their territory or show that they're right. And yet that is completely opposite to what a real powerful conversation is or a real powerful confrontation. And right now in the body of Christ, we have to learn to confront with the right agenda. And most of the time we have the wrong agenda. So we're going to talk about this. But before I do, let me give you some interesting facts. This is just about communication alone. Okay, here we go. Scholars in one study, they were able to predict by watching people's communication with each other to a 90% accuracy whether that marriage would end in divorce or not, simply by watching how they communicate back and forth. 90%. Here's the good news. After training them with better skills, they cut that in half just by teaching them how to communicate better. So out of 100 people, if they watch, they could predict possibly that 90 of them, based on how they communicate, would have fights and then potentially divorce. And if they taught them how to communicate, they could actually cut that down in half. That's good news, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just shake your head. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Which means we have something to learn. Research also shows that the poor ability to communicate and hold conversations leads to, leads to a weaker immune system. When you can't communicate and you hold all that frustration in, it works against your immune system. We call that stress. Interesting enough, this is, to me, fascinating. Another group did a study on people that had malignant myeloma. And basically, everybody went through the same treatment. But at the very end of the treatment, they took half the group and they taught them how to communicate for 6 weeks, and the other half they did absolutely nothing with. 5 years later, they checked to see their mortality rate, and those that actually had communication lessons were 30% more likely to live than those that didn't, just by having 6 weeks of communication. But it's interesting, something that we take for granted that we do every day that we sometimes realize we don't do very well. And I think the fallacy is sometimes we think we become Christians. That means that everything changes. But there's something that has to be learned. There are qualities. It's like being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is the first place to start because we got to keep our temper down. And believe it or not, have you ever looked through the book of Proverbs? Raise your hand if you've ever read Proverbs. Proverbs is all a lot of relational skills. A ton of relational skills. Let me read a couple for you, and they'll tie in for today. This is Proverbs 19:11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. That's good. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Those are just two really good Proverbs, aren't they? A hot-tempered person, this is Proverbs 15, 18, a hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. It's good. Ephesians 4, 26, we know this well. We often say it at weddings. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. There's a reason for that. Because when you are sleeping, or not sleeping, more likely, you are building a case against the one you love. And it's mulling all night. And you're ruminating until the time you wake up, you've got your gun loaded. Where if you could sit down, we've had a few nights where we've had a, you know, till 2 a.m. Nope, we're going to make sure we talk about this. We're not going to bed angry. And I don't believe we ever have. I don't think so. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It's funny when they say these words, they often go back to forgive just as, right? Forgiveness, repentance, forgive just as Jesus forgave you. And we need to see that more in the body of Christ. One more, James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Man, we could just take that and work on it. Amen. Now, what we often do in the Christian realm is that we learn to control our temper, but we also learn to, in the sake for not rocking the boat or getting people angry, we often hold everything in. And there's two ways we can go about it. You've heard of fight or flight. Another way to put it is silence or violence. And violence, we're not talking about, you know, fists necessarily. That's the worst case scenario. But a lot of times violence comes into manipulation, comes into anger, and all these different things. Now, it's interesting. Kristen needed to tell me something the other day. She's like, oh, you're not going to. See? She wanted, I can't even remember what she's going to say, but it's interesting because I've been studying this. What are the things that you know happens when somebody gets angry and is talking? Can anybody tell me some body language that happens? Anybody? Come on. Nobody knows body language? Oh, we got this. That's a strong cue. Oh, there it is. The pointing of the finger. That's what happened. She wanted to tell me something, and she did this. She came, you know, and finger. She never does that. I was like, whoa, she got the finger out, you know. How many parents do that? You go to tell your kids, and before you know it, you're pointing the finger. You're pointing your finger at the kids and you're like, you, right? Come on, somebody raise their hand and say, yes, I've done that. Please, all you holy people in here, we all have. Because Christ is one of the holiest, she's holier than all of you. And she was pointing the finger. It's like a gun. But it's funny, what happens when somebody does this? Do you know what my response is? Now, I don't put my fist up, but that may be like, I'm like, oh, we're going to duel now, are we? It's defensiveness. So right away, whatever she wanted to share may get lost because she's pointing her finger and I'm getting defensive, and then we miss what we're going to talk about. So what I want to do is finish up talking about how to have powerful conversations and communication, right? We good? All right. So when it comes to dealing with an issue, people often ignore it and become bitter and resentful. Have you ever met somebody that is talking about an issue that happened 40 years ago? And they talk about it like it happened yesterday. They're bitter, resentful, and they haven't had healing. We don't want that. We don't want that for ourselves, and we want to see people healed of that. I'm amazed. There's one person I know of it. It's like every time it comes up, like, you need to get healed. Really, God wants to see you set free, because that's a cage for that person. They can run from it and try to move on. But usually when you run from it, you become bitter and resentful. And I love the saying, wherever you go, there you are. Right? So if you're angry and bitter about something, you will notoriously find somebody else. You will find yourself in that same situation for two reasons. One, because somehow your character is drawing you into that. Two, I think God wants to heal you from it, and he's going to bring it around again. You can move to another country, but you're still there. Yeah. You, the one that still has to deal with it. Because this is the key. If you want to write something down, we have a hard enough time changing ourselves, let alone somebody else. And a lot of times we want to change everybody around us, but we got to start with us. And if you remember, that was one of the first things I shared 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, I said, start with your heart. And if you write anything down today, write that one down and remember it. When we're going into a conversation, we need to start with our heart and make sure our heart is right. And a lot of you, you know, you are in that D category too. And some of you are S's, and we looked at the DISC personality. But if you're a D, sometimes you forget that maybe you need to simmer down and get your heart right. Because D's want to deal with it. Who are the D's? It's like, if we're having an argument, let's go. Let's do it. Any other D's in here? No other D's in here. A couple D's. I'm just the one, like, I want to deal with it. I want to get it all out in the open. Let's deal with it. How many are like, well, let's wait maybe forever? I mean, next week. Some people are non-confrontational. So these all work into it. All right, so we've got ignore, become bitter, we got run away from it. We try to show we're more powerful. We talked about that, like the, you know, trying to scare off a bear. And then rarely do people actually know how to have a successful confrontation. All right, we talked about this quickly. I just want to remind you, because it is really important, because Scripture actually just proved it. When you are in a heated, crucial conversation, what happens when... So when Krista did this, you know what starts to go through my body? Adrenaline. Seriously, a teaspoon of adrenaline triggers your body to get into fight or flight. It's a genetic thing that we have. So if, you know, if I need to run, I'm going to run. Now, here's the other thing that's really important. Blood starts moving from my brain to the other parts of my body that need to move. So that is like working against me to have a conversation. My anger's going up, my temper's going up, my adrenaline's going up, and the blood that should be helping me think properly is moving from my brain to my body parts. That's why people have, in a fury, hit somebody that they love, and then went, oh my gosh, how could I have ever done that? Because rage is running through your body. I'm sure we've all had it where we'd be like, how, like road rage, how can anybody do this? And then it happens to you. Somebody cuts you off or screams at you and your blood just starts to boil. Anybody else ever have that happen? Now, hopefully we're not the type to go and, you know, run them down. But here's the reality. When that starts to happen, you lose the ability to communicate. Everything you would like to share with that person is about to go out the window because you're not thinking. So what does it say? What were the scriptures? It talked about a gentle answer deflects anger. The sensible control their temper. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. A hot temper person starts fights. A cool temper person stops them. So this is what the Bible is trying to say. Listen, get your anger under control because it is not going to help anything. You have to have a conversation that's going to be successful. So that's really important to realize. All these things are physiologically happening when you go to talk with someone. That's why sometimes it's good to step away and go, hey, we probably need to have a conversation about this, but let's take some time to think about it before we do. Because right now it's just not a good time. And if that other person pushes you and demands, you are powerful enough to say, I'm sorry. Now is not the time. We are both having a lot of emotions right now. We just need to step away for a second. Has anybody ever done that? If you haven't, you need to learn that to go, this is not the time. Give me 5 minutes because I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. You know, when that finger came out, oh, put the finger away. I'm putting my, we didn't end up in a fight. And it was just funny because after I'm reading this, this is what she's got the finger out. You know, we often do, we lean. Yeah, really? Our jaws get tight. Everybody can see it. Okay, still with me. So what do? Okay, the second thing I want you to write down, if you have a piece of paper or anything like that, I want you to write this down. When you go into a conversation, what is the goal and your motive? What's your goal and motive? So let me give you a fictional example. Krista does a lot of travel and or works for people for travel agent. And so we often talk vacations. And right now we talk a lot about vacations because we can't go anywhere. So it's really fun to talk about what you can't do. And we love to go to the very similar places. But let's say that we sit down, and this is the one time we're able to go, and we sit down to have a conversation. So the goal is to determine where we're going to go on vacation. That's the goal. Hey, honey, let's talk about vacation. And then I say, oh, we have to go here because I need to do this. And she says, you always get to decide. This has never happened. I'm just fictional. You always get to decide. You get to decide where we go. It's always what you want. Do you remember 14 years ago when? And what do we begin to do? We begin to point a finger and we begin to talk about 14 years ago that never got settled in our own hearts. And then I have to now do a couple things. I either calm my temper and go, we're losing sight of what we're talking about. Or I get angry and I either want to lash out, manipulate, silence or violence. Pastor Gary did it, right? I'm not talking anymore. We have these things that we do instead of going, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. What was the goal? We're talking about where we want to go. And you may have to go, honey, do I do that often? Do I actually push my way in? Yeah, you do. There's a great time for healing, isn't there? Why? Because if we say we love and honor each other, we should want our hearts to be right. We should want nothing to be in between us. It's funny that we can do it with God, don't we? Man, I want to get to the altar because I want to make sure my heart is pure and I want to make sure there's nothing between us. And then we could have things between a whole bunch of people. It's like, no, God designed that to show us so we could do the same thing with people. Amen? You with me? Okay, so often when we get into a fight, usually, you know what begins to happen with our adrenaline? It triggers that we have to now win this fight. Right? Have you ever been in an argument and you want to win? You don't go into it. The goal was to pick a destination, but all of a sudden you go into it and now it's like, oh, it's on. And I'm going to win this battle. You're going to throw stuff my way? I remember 22 years ago. 22 years ago, and we talked about this similar, and we start to throw things. And, you know, we're using terms like you, and it never goes anywhere, and it just becomes another hurtful thing. So what do we do? Okay. We avoid trying to win a conversation, and we go back to what is the point of why we're talking? So often, we totally get angry and forget what was the point. So we try to win, we become defensive, and or we try to just simply put it off to survive another day. And all these tactics will simply harbor bitterness within us. Let me give you a funny example in one of the books I was reading. The author of the book was sharing about how he took his two daughters. I think they might have been twins. He took them to Disneyland. And this is a fun example, but it often happens in other subtle ways. So he takes his two daughters to Disneyland. They're out all day, and they decide to go back to the hotel, A, because it's been so hot, B, because they have to use the washroom, and they're going to take some time to rest. So they get to their hotel, and the two daughters rush for the bathroom. You can understand what's about to happen. It's a single-bathroom hotel. These two daughters start going after it. She went first last time. No, you went first last time. You always want your way. So the father who wrote the book, who's been studying all this stuff, says, listen, hey, whoa, whoa. You have to go in there and figure it out, but there's one rule. Do not hit each other. And he left them. And he sat down and got his timer out. And he says he would hear whining. He would hear screaming, all these different things. And then finally, a flush. One kid comes out. Second flush, the other kid comes out. 25 minutes later, and he says, guys, sit down. He said, when you walked in, what was the goal? I had to go to the bathroom. It took you 25 minutes to figure out who should go to the bathroom first. Could have it been done better? Well, and they went right back to it, and he had to just bring it back down. But he said, do you know how many times you could have went to the bathroom? If you had the goal in mind of what this is all about, Like, did it matter for the 30 seconds that you, and they held it for 20 minutes. Now we laugh at that, but have we ever done anything like that? Where we get so stuck in our way, the blood rushes from our brain, and we are no longer able to have a conversation. Let me give you another example. In this book, the book is called, one of the resources that I've used is called Crucial Conversations. If you want a really good book to read, it's a great book. In Crucial Conversations, they talk about, her name's Greta, I think that's her real name. She is one of the top managers of this company. And she's in a meeting one day, and this is where learning how to have crucial conversations is key. And how to, you know, we talk about changing atmospheres. It's not always a spiritual thing. It is both. It's also how we're projecting our voice and how we're talking. And so, long story short, the gentleman set out to write a book about something totally different, about being highly productive. And they basically kept coming back to these people that were highly able to communicate. And people would say to them while they're researching, you want to figure out how to be highly productive? Figure out how they just did that and teach us how to do it. And so this is one of those incidences where they're watching, and Greta is one of the managers, and she gets up and she's got 200 top officials there, and she's about to share one of the key things that they need. And so she starts sharing about how they have a financial crunch right now, and everybody needs to work together to make sure. And it doesn't seem like everybody's working together. We got to get the cost down. We got to start using both sides of papers, and she's going through all the details. So finally, somebody stands up that has taken communication skills and says, I got a question. I'm struggling in an area. Could you help me understand? And so they said the air rushed out of the room, right? High-ranking official, below, uh-oh, what's going to happen? Because we think if I step up and share something, I could lose my job. But this person had enough wisdom to do it properly and said, it's come to a lot of our attention. You're wondering why nobody's really trying that hard. It's come to a lot of our attention that you are. That just became a really pivotal moment, didn't it? Because a subordinate is accusing or confronting, let's use that word, confronting someone that is higher ranked. And as these two people that wrote the book that were researching and watching, they said, this is what happened. She was talking, Greta, and she went like this, and she grabbed the lectern. She leaned forward, and she put up her finger. Her jaw got clenched. And then he said this. He says, something extraordinary happened. Within, he says, maybe 10 seconds, she put her hand down. Her jaw got slack. She rolled her shoulders back. She said, that's an interesting point. I guess we should talk about it. And she began to discuss, and she even had one of her aides go out and check the numbers, and this person was right. And they literally repented and said, you know what? You guys are absolutely right. Why would you want to cut costs if I'm not willing to do it myself? And so the whole atmosphere changed in the room. Because she was willing, both partners were willing to go, what is the point of the conversation? So they asked her afterward, they said, what happened in your mind? Why did you change so quickly? And she said, well, I stepped back in my brain and I thought to myself, what is the point of what I'm trying to say? What was my goal? And she said, I walked in there with the goal to get people to start spending less money. And he just gave me a perfect opportunity that actually had to do with me. But he gave me an opportunity, and I thought, if I'm doing that, of course, nobody would want to do it. So she found out when she repented, that's the Christian term that we would use, everybody got on board, accepted her apology, and went, well, let's figure out what we can do now. And the whole atmosphere changed. That is having a crucial conversation and being gifted enough to go, I'm stepping back right now because my blood is flowing, my temper, my adrenaline, and I need to ask myself, what was the goal of what I wanted to talk about? And so often we forget what the goal was because we get so angry. If I sit down to talk about vacations and I keep throwing stuff up about why every time I go, she gets her way and I get my way, we've missed the point. Now, we wanted to pick a spot for both of us. So let's try to get it right. All right, you guys with me? Okay, so the key word I want you to understand is, in this is me before we. So what do I mean by that? When you're about to have a conversation, start with you. So often we want the other person to get right, don't we? If you would just realize what you're doing. If you, and I was going to play this thing because it's so humorous and it's so often true, of a husband and wife who throw in everything, including the kitchen sink, when they get into an argument. Every time they start throwing in anything that would be ammunition that has nothing to do with what they're talking about. And so the goal is to go, okay, me before we. So before I look at what you need to do, I need to stop and look at what I need to do. I need to get my voice down. I need to get my heart right. I need to step back and go, what is the point of this conversation? I need to maybe go, hey, I'm really upset. I need to just take a second. All skills that we need. And we live, why have we been doing this series? Because we live in a day and age where it's like we're losing the ability to have a conversation anymore. And there's a lot of heated topics. So sometimes in these heated topics, we need to go, you know what? This is probably not worth talking about because I think we're on different sides and we'll probably be on different sides at the end of the conversation. And a lot of these conversations, I'm stepping back realizing that inside of me, there's a little part of me that wants to win, right? We want to win the debate right now on this side or this side. Mass or no mass. You know, you got the states, you constantly got the political issues. And we always want to win our side instead of going, you know what? Our connection is way more important than that issue. So we either have to drop this topic or find a way to talk about it without getting angry. And if we can't, we need to drop the topic. Why? Because I honor you and love you so much that I want to keep my connection. And every time we bring that topic up, our connection gets severed. So why would I want to bring it up? These are just skills that we need to have because we're not going to probably prove. We walk around wanting to prove ourselves right to every person. We had an episode the other day. My son and I were cutting grass, and some man really was passionate about telling us what to do. And so as I came around the corner, I could see this man heated with my son, very angry. You know, it was not only the pointing, it was like, I thought, oh my gosh, this guy's going to possibly lunge at my son. And it's funny, when I walked up, everything changed. So what was it? Well, it was a big person wanting to get really scary for my son. I just, you know, because I'm studying this, I thought his points actually were valid for something that was going on. But the way he communicated, it just defense. And I thought, man, we've got to learn this skill. I'm saying it for him, but I would say it for myself too, because I've been in that position where I get my dukes up instead of just going, oh, I just need to listen to their heart. I got to get my heart right so I can listen to their heart. And in the end, I was able to talk with the person. I just thanked them and tried to be polite and thank them for their, you know, wisdom that they were trying to share because they had some wisdom in that moment. But the body language was totally wrong. It was not, it was a fight ready to happen. All right. So me before we, you guys still awake? Okay. I'm going to give you four questions and I'm going to begin to close. Four questions I want you to think about. And these are actually really hard questions sometimes to answer. Number one, when you go into a conversation, what do I really want for myself? When I'm in this conversation, what actually do I really want the end result to be? Number two, what do I want for others? So what do I want for myself? What do I want for others? This is would be five because I don't believe I gave you this last week. What am I feeling right now? So there's going to be five. What am I currently feeling? It's interesting. Most people get into conversations, can't identify what they want, and can't identify how they feel. And yet we're supposed to have a powerful conversation to get something completed. And yet you can't identify how you feel, and you can't identify what you actually want. A skilled communicator will get in there and help you identify, what is it? I can see you're really angry right now. What is upsetting you? I'm so angry. I see that. Can we talk about why you're angry? I don't know. And you know, a lot of times it gets to the point, I feel like I have no control. I feel like I'm helpless. I feel like I can't make a decision. Oh, so what am I doing anything that's putting you in that place that makes you feel like you have no control? Oh, yeah, yes. You know, hey, and then a dialogue starts happening. But if a person can't even identify what they feel and what they need, it's pretty hard to get a conclusion, right? Okay, so what do I really want for myself? What do I want for others? You know, that's an interesting question. Because if we love each other, don't we want something for the other person? Shake your head if you agree. Shouldn't we want to go into a conversation and go, man, this is the person that I love. This is a fellow believer. This is not a believer, but I still love the person. I want to see him become a believer. This is just a person that God loves because he loves everyone. So what do I have for this person? Well, I want to see them whole. I could tell they're really angry. I don't want them to be angry. I could tell they're really bitter. I don't want them to be bitter. I could tell our connection's getting distant. I don't want that connection to be distant. So I need to work on this. Question number, I guess it's four. What do I really want for this relationship? What do I want for this relationship? I've been asking myself a lot lately, going, okay, Lord, there's been some severing of connections through COVID and disagreements. And how do I, what can I do? These are the questions I'm asking myself. So if I have a disconnect with someone, what do I want out of that relationship still? Do I want to pursue it? And how should I pursue it? And what do I want for that other person? And how do I go after it? And how do I do it where I'm calm and not upset? Question number five. How would I behave if I actually really wanted these results? How would I behave if I really wanted these results? So if my goal is to go on vacation with Krista and find a place that we both can agree on, and that is my goal, how will I behave? Well, every time there's something that comes up that's separating, we have to step back and go, oh, no, we're not going to use you. That's the first, we can't use you. We can't, when you say you, you point a finger. It's like an automatic thing. Well, you, because we don't know who we're talking about, so we got to point our finger to make sure they know, right? Reg, when you, we naturally do this. And then we get our defenses up, and then the goal is lost in what we're trying to do. But if the goal is, I want to find a way to connect, well, then our behavior changes. Okay, I got to remove the pointing of the finger. I got to bring my voice down. Why? Well, if I raise my voice and my wife says, hey, and I have an open dialogue, and she says, when you get like that, you scare me. Or when you get like that, I don't feel like I can talk. Oh, I don't want that. If our goal is to communicate, and I'm doing this, and you're shutting down, I'm actually working against myself. Okay, anybody awake here? If the goal is communicate, but I communicate like this, and the other person gets, you know, doesn't communicate, and you walk away and you get what you wanted, you didn't communicate, you manipulated. You controlled to get your way. But if your goal is to communicate, you just defeated yourself. And if the goal is to show how much we love, then we've defeated ourselves again. You with me? I know, I like feedback because I just see eyes. But this is what makes marriages either work or not work. I used to be convinced, when you read the research, it says that finances are one of the greatest things that people divorce over. I disagree with that. I think it's the conversation about finances. Because if you can communicate about it, hopefully you can work through it. So we got all those questions. Those are hard questions to work through if we really want to see something happen. Amen? Amen. So as we close out this series on honor, church, I just really want to go back to you. I look at those prophetic words. I don't have them with me. I don't know if anybody has a card. The ones I gave you on unity. And I'm like, Lord, if you want us to walk into that level of unity, we have to learn how to communicate. Silence is not communication. And so many people function in silence. I think I just need the one. Turn to your neighbor and say, but man, I am powerful. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm powerful. But powerful does not mean that I have to raise my voice. Powerful does not mean I have to manipulate. Powerful does not mean I have to get aggressive. Powerful simply means you get to make decisions. And sometimes that decision is, whoa. I think you need to cool off. And I'm just going to take a break while you cool off. No, you have to talk to me now. No, I actually don't have to talk to you now. Because I have boundaries. And I'm just going to take some time to let you take some time. And while you're taking time, I'm going to make sure my heart's right too. You can't do... Yes, I actually can. Because I'm a powerful person. I wouldn't necessarily say that. But what I'm trying to train you is we often think we have to succumb to everything that people want. No. So that kind of, if you can't then, we may not be able to come to an agreement. Easier said than done. But we can learn to do it. These are the prophetic words, Brian Schwartz. What's going to mark this house is actually not going to be just great exploits. It's going to be unity that comes upon a people, a unity that God restores in such a mighty way. Jordan from Bethel, I saw the word revival over you guys, not just a revival of signs, wonders, and miracles, but a family. I see a family revival where actually this revival is birthed out of family, out of connection, out of unity. And I feel like you guys are going to see the greatest sense of unity in this area that you've ever seen in a while. Well, I promise you this, it's both a spiritual thing and a natural thing. Because the things that we're teaching here on honor, these are the things that must happen if we're actually going to have conversation. Because I can tell you, revivals that have happened were amazing moves of God that get destroyed by what? Arguments, disagreements, and conflict. It's not always even, of course, it's the enemy that tries to get in, and people will try to name that then. Oh, you got a spirit of, well, a lot of times it's not a spirit of anything. It's just poor communication skills, and you don't know how to sit down and have that conversation. And something beautiful can end like a marriage because we don't have the skills. How many want the skills? How many want better skills? Anybody want to improve? I want to improve. I can look back at so many meetings and go, if I knew some of this now and had it in practice, I could have diffused a lot of things. But when you get accused, then your anger gets going, then you blood flows from your brain, adrenaline's up, and you don't even think anymore. That's when afterwards you go, why did I say that? How could I have brought that up again? I said I would never bring that up. I promised. Well, because you weren't thinking with the head. You were like, your muscles, and you were ready to fight. So Lord, help us. Why don't you stand with me? I encourage you to read Colossians 3. And I will be the first to tell you that I do not always do that well. But we are going to get better. Amen? I promise to continue to work at my side. And I hope you will too. Because I think when people can walk in and hear the beautiful stories, because conflict can have a beautiful ending, right? Yeah. Has anybody ever had conflict that ended in a better place? I hope you have, because that's what the beautiful thing is, marriage, that we actually got things out in the open without yelling. We discovered things about our partner. I discover things about Krista on a regular basis. I didn't even know. Like, the more you learn, and she doesn't even know. I didn't even know that was one of those things. Oh, I learned something new. So, Father God, we ask for help. Lord, these are great principles, but hard to sometimes put into action. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember these things, Lord. I pray that you would help us to go before you with people and love on people. And Lord, I pray that truly those words would come to pass, that people would walk into this house, that they would walk into this house and they would feel love, honor, and unity. And they would begin to say, how did you get here? Well, let's talk about that. I pray that people would feel comfortable and loved here. We just say, help Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.